headlines this hour. Hezbollah warns Israel against waging another war on Lebanon.
If we are targeted, we target them as well. We are killed, we can kill. We are forced to leave our homes, we force them to leave their homes. We are confronted, we confront them.
A renowned US scholar says Israel is much worse than the apartheid regime. Anti-war protests in London as the British Queen officially opens the parliament. And later in the program, the US expands a no-fishing zone as the oil spill spreads. Hello everyone, I'm Hassan Tavakoli in Tehran and thanks for joining us on the news here on Press TV. The Lebanese are celebrating 10 years of Israel's withdrawal from the south of their country. The leader of Lebanon's Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, warns Israel against launching a new war.
On May 25, 2000, Israeli occupation forces were forced to withdraw from the south of Lebanon. The day is marked with celebrations across the country every year. The difference this year is that the day was declared a national holiday by Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri. The leader of Lebanon's Hezbollah movement commemorated the day with a televised speech. While congratulating the Lebanese, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah also warned the Israelis. He said Israel will face a crushing response if it attacks Lebanon.
If we are targeted, we target them as well. We are killed, we can kill. We are forced to leave our homes, we force them to leave their homes. We are confronted, we confront them.
Nasrallah said Hezbollah would target the Israeli Navy in the event of a war.
If you isolate our coastline, all of the civilian and military and commercial ships which will head towards occupied Palestine on the Mediterranean coast, all of these ships will be vulnerable to the rockets of the Islamic resistance.
Israel launched a war on Lebanon back in 2006. It ended with Tel Aviv's defeat after 33 days of fierce fighting that killed more than 1,200 Lebanese, most of them civilians. This time around, Nasrallah said, an Israeli war will change the face of the region forever.
If the war breaks out, and we do not want such a war, but we don't fear a war.
Nasrallah said he agreed with the White House on one thing.
There's one thing at least we agree upon with Mrs. Clinton. Yes, we believe this is the future. This is the future of Israel. Israel's arrogance and its racism will lead it to this destiny of annihilation.
Nasrallah wrapped up his speech with a call for all Lebanese to do whatever it takes to protect the country against foreign aggression. Nasrallah said unity between the Lebanese people, army and resistance is the only way to guarantee Lebanon's sovereignty. By the following
stance. Well, our prominent American scholar Noam Chomsky says what Israel is doing is much more worse than what the South African apartheid regime did.
Israel does not need the Palestinians, doesn't want them. If they wither away like the leaves of autumn, the way the Native Americans did, that's fine. They go somewhere else, that's fine. But they don't take any responsibility for them, and they don't need them. So it's much worse than apartheid.
Well, Chomsky made the comments in a lecture in the Lebanese capital, Beirut. He also talked about Iran. He said Washington wants Tehran to follow orders. This, he underlined, while Iran refuses to submit to any foreign country's wishes. Chomsky said Tehran aims to pursue its sovereignty and doesn't care about what other countries think about that. Now, Israel has threatened to stop a naval fleet of humanitarian aid bound for Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Israeli authorities have reportedly warned that any activist on board the ship may be arrested. Meanwhile, Turkey has warned Israel that any move to block the fleet will face a response. The convoy is carrying some 700 international activists, as well as supplies for the besieged Palestinians. Ships from Turkey, Ireland, Britain and Greece will reach Gaza on Wednesday evening, if all goes well as planned. The Freedom Flotilla is the largest of its kind since Israel and Egypt began their blockade of the Gaza Strip in 2007. Tel Aviv has so far ignored all international calls to lift the blockade. Well, now Israeli warplanes have once again attacked the Gaza Strip. Reports say the planes pounded an area close to the defunct airport in Rafah. Well, more strikes, however, are expected as warplanes are still flying over the coastal enclave. No injuries or damage have been reported so far. Israel has recently carried out dozens of air raids targeting tunnels near the Rafah border crossing. The besieged Palestinians often use tunnels running under the Egyptian border to bring in food and fuel. Well, now China once again calls for diplomacy to resolve the dispute over Iran's nuclear energy program. The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson has told reporters that just because the UN Security Council is discussing the issue doesn't mean that diplomatic efforts have ended. Zhang Yu's comments come as Washington claims it has Beijing's support for more sanctions against Iran. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says Iran's fuel exchange proposal has, quote, deficiencies. Iran, Brazil and Turkey recently issued a declaration in Tehran on the proposed plan. Under the offer, Iran has agreed to exchange low-enriched uranium for higher-enriched fuel in Turkey. Iran needs the fuel for the Tehran Medical Research Reactor. British Prime Minister David Cameron is promising to step up pressure on Iran over its nuclear energy program. Cameron has accused Tehran of being bent on building nuclear weapons. Cameron has made the remarks during his first speech to the UK Parliament since taking office. The British Prime Minister added that he had spoken to French and German leaders about sanctions against Tehran. Iran has repeatedly said its nuclear activities are for civilian purposes only. Meanwhile, the UN Atomic Agency, the IAEA, has repeatedly said it has not detected any diversion whatsoever in Tehran's nuclear program for military purposes. Well, earlier we talked to a UK-based analyst, Jubin Mortamed, about Cameron's remarks. He says there are some forces in Washington, London and Tel Aviv who are pushing for more pressure on Iran.
This was an offer put forward to Iran by Russia, France and Washington, jointly with IAEA, and Iran is fully complying to their offer and is fully responding to it. And of course, Turkey and Brazil, they have taken action in this mediation. And as far as Turkey's official have said, informally, they even had Obama's go ahead to press ahead with these negotiations. But still, there are forces in London, Washington, and Tel Aviv who like to put Iran under, you know, punitive economic actions.
Well, the British Queen has officially opened the Parliament, pledging that the government will cut the huge budget deficit and support British troops abroad. But as she delivered her speech, anti-war protesters outside the Parliament denounced the pledges as a wasted opportunity.
The state opening of Parliament is an occasion of great pomp and tradition. Queen Elizabeth II, as head of state, travels the short distance from her main residence in London, Buckingham Palace, to the Houses of Parliament. Once there, she reads a speech given to her by Britain's real rulers, the governing Conservative Liberal Democrat coalition. And, as widely expected, the Queen immediately emphasised the need to tackle the UK's economic woes.
The first priority is to reduce the deficit and restore economic growth. Action will be taken to accelerate the reduction of the structural budget deficit.
The Queen also pledged that her government would reform Parliament to restore public faith in democracy. And on foreign affairs, she said the government would support Britain's armed forces abroad.
My government will work with the Afghan government, Pakistan, and international partners for lasting security and stability in Afghanistan.
The state opening of Parliament is when the Queen outlines the government's legislative agenda for the coming year. Now, that agenda will focus primarily on domestic concerns, but the protesters behind me believe that foreign concerns are of greater importance, especially the prospect of a withdrawal of British troops from Afghanistan.
In the shadow of Parliament, anti-war campaigners have set up a peace camp to oppose Britain's involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan. The most famous of them, Brian Hoare, who we filmed here last year, was arrested just before the Queen's speech and is currently in police custody. The police said he'd obstructed them as they searched his tent. His supporters, however, say the authorities overreacted.
The police were doing a search of everywhere. Basically, he was carried off face down by four police, handcuffed with his shoulder blades in a stressed position. He was complaining he wanted his crutches and he had a bad back. I think he should have been escorted off in a better manner.
Meanwhile, other protesters condemned the Queen's speech as a wasted opportunity.
I think one key message is to be very wary of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. She's actually one of the worst war criminals in this country. She is the one who signs the orders to the armed forces, and she could at any time, with her personal signature, end the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. She knows that 300,000 children have been murdered. However, she's more interested in corgis and horses.
Like the general public, many of the protesters are willing to give the new coalition government a chance when it comes to the domestic agenda. But they've little or no hope that they'll be listened to when it comes to foreign policy. Roshan Mohammed Saleh, Press TV, London.
Now, as we have been reporting breaking news from Gaza, we've received reports from medical sources as they have been reporting that 15 people have been injured in the latest airstrike in the town of Beit Hanoun in northern Gaza. Once again, according to medical sources, 15 people have been injured in the latest airstrike in the city of Beit Hanoun in northern Gaza. Of course, more details on that breaking news as the story further develops. Now, Italy has approved a multi-billion euro austerity package amid the mounting debt crisis in Europe. The move follows similar measures in Greece, Spain and Portugal. A government source says the cabinet has okayed 24 billion euros in cuts. The move is aimed at stabilizing Italy's public finances within 2 years. No details have been released so far. The measures might include cuts in health spending as well as government salaries. Europe has been hit hard by the Greek financial crisis. Analysts say it triggered the current decline of the euro. Rome has been reassuring Italians that the crisis in Greece will not affect them. Well, now the slick in the Gulf of Mexico has forced U.S. authorities to extend the area where fishing is banned to more than 140,000 square kilometers. It's now been 36 days since an underwater oil well in the Gulf ruptured, and all efforts to stop the flow of crude gushing into the ocean have failed. More than 20% of the Gulf of Mexico is now off limits to fishermen. The amount of crude pouring into the water is not exactly clear. But experts have put the figure as high as 84,000 barrels a day. The leak started back on April 22nd when an explosion brought down BP's Deepwater Horizon rig. The fishing and tourism industries in the region have been badly hit. Almost half of America's commercial fisheries operate in the Gulf, and 70% of the country's shrimp production comes from the United States' contaminated Gulf coastline. To tell us more about this U.S. oil spill, we're joined all the way from San Francisco by Richard Becker. He's with the ANSA Coalition. Welcome to the program, sir. Mr. Becker, people are obviously angry with both BP and the U.S. government because they have both failed to bring the situation under control. Why has the situation reached this point?
Well, I'm actually right now in San Francisco outside a hotel where President Obama is going to be speaking, and there are many people out here with signs that say, seize BP's assets and BP gets rich and the planet and the people pay. And last week I was in Louisiana for a week and got to see firsthand how people there are feeling, and they're very angry and very distressed, and it's really outrageous that the way that this disaster came about and the way that it is being treated are emblematic of the way in which the corporations, and particularly the big oil corporations along with the banks, dominate the government, really rule over the government. The government may govern the people, but it's very clear from what's happened in this disaster that the big oil companies are more powerful and, in fact, give the marching orders to the government and are continuing to do that down till today.
I mean, many say BP is deceiving the Americans by promising them new methods that every time end up in failure, unfortunately. Are people being told the truth?
Oh, no, people are not being told the truth. And, of course, it was very interesting. There was a press conference at the White House on Friday. And at that press conference, President Obama's official spokesperson, Robert Gibbs, was asked the question, why don't you just order BP to do what they're supposed to do? And Gibbs' response to that was, well, they're a private company. Very revealing, very, very indicative of the reality. And so what we have been treated to is a great deal of deceit and deception, and the U.S. government has facilitated this. The U.S. government has gone along with it. And this goes back even before the spill, when there were regulations that were proposed that would have meant that there was another blowout preventer, an emergency fail-safe blowout preventer, and BP and the other oil companies were able to convince the government that they shouldn't have to be required to do that in the United States, in the Gulf, although they're required to do that in other countries. So we've been treated to deception, to corruption, to lying, and now we have one of the greatest environmental disasters in history.
All right, we'll leave it there for the time being. Many thanks to Richard Becker with the Answer Coalition from San Francisco. And you're watching the news here on Press TV. A quick check of the headlines this hour. Hezbollah warns Israel against waging another war on Lebanon.
If we are targeted, we target them as well. We are killed, we can kill. We are forced to leave our homes, we force them to leave their homes. We are confronted, we confront them.
A renowned U.S. scholar says Israel is much worse than the apartheid regime in South Africa. And anti-war protests in London as the British Queen officially opens the parliament. Plus, the U.S. expands a no-fishing zone as the oil spill spreads.